Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Well, all you students who have been out on placement, it's been a bit of a reality check, hasn't it? You've probably come back praising God for the ways He has used you, conscious of the limitations of the way He couldn't use you, having to face some of your fears when you felt totally out of your depth, perhaps even some tinges of failure where you know you didn't step out in faith in the way that God was prompting you to. But all that is in the past, and we learn from all that. But we're going to focus on what God wants to do, especially at camp and beyond, but what He wants to do in us to get us ready for camp. Turn to Psalm 37. Here is the key to getting everything you could ever want from the Lord. Verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You see, if you want revival, there's no point in praying for revival. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you revival, yes, if that is the desire of your heart. If you want to be used of God, it's no use praying, "Oh Lord, use me more." Delight yourself in the Lord and He will use you more if that's the desire of your heart. You want to see God answering your prayers and doing more effective and mightier things when you pray. Well, don't pray to be more effective in prayer. If that's the desire of your heart, delight yourself in the Lord, and then you will see that happening. Delighting yourself in God is really the key to everything, because that's what enables the desires of your heart to be fulfilled. So what does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? It means you want Him. You don't want revival, you want Him. And because you have more of Him, you are more revived. God is able to use you more effectively. What delights you? That which pleases you. If you delight yourself in the Lord, that's like saying, "Lord, you please me above everything else. I want you above everything else. I want to know you better above everything else. I want to live closer to you than anything else." Now, of course, if that's true and not just a sentiment or something that you feel you ought to pray or you ought to be in that kind of position, but if that's really the desire of your heart, then you will do whatever to see the fulfillment of that. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does the scripture say? Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. We love to know the Lord's presence, but the closer we draw to Him, the more we will be aware of His presence, not just in the meeting, We don't want to just know his presence in the meeting. We want to know his presence throughout the day as we walk with him, as we talk with him, as we work with him. Everything is with him because we're delighting ourselves in him. The greatest time of revival I've ever known was the result of us literally crying out for him. It wasn't that we didn't have him before. Of course we had him before. Some great, wonderful things were going on in our lives and in our ministries beforehand. But God created in us a greater desire for him. Not for ministry, but for him. Not to be used, but for him. Not to be effective, but for him. You see, it's so easy for something else to replace him, even revival, even ministry, even fruitfulness. You see, something's gone off balance if those are the things we want rather than him, because if we have him, then we'll have all those things. We'll have revival, we'll have effective ministry, we'll have fruitfulness. Because our desire is for him. And of course, if you desire him, you spend time with him. Not just because you have to be at the 8 o'clock, but you spend time with him. You see, there's a sense in which all of us, the team, students, whoever we are, it's your time he wants. The time when you choose him above all the other things that you could be doing at that time. I can remember we went on holiday one time. I was in revival. We were actually living in revival. Normally, you know, if you're on the beach, you get a decent novel, if there are such things, and just sort of get lost in the sun for a bit. The only book I could read at that time was the Bible. I just spent the whole time sitting on the beach reading the Bible. Now, that wasn't some spiritual thing. It's just I didn't want to read anything else. Now, that wasn't because I wanted God to do something in me. It's because he'd done something in me. Yes. It's just nothing else matters except him. And what he wants is a people that are given over to him. You see, we're not going to camp for revival. We're going to camp for him. Yes. We're going to camp to meet with him. Yes. So that he can do what he wants. He's not going to fulfill our plans. He will fulfill our desires when our desires match his desires. Yes. That's why our desires can only match his desires if our desires are for him. Otherwise, we'll be trying in our prayer to get him to do what we want rather than us doing what he wants. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, we don't pray small prayers. We don't have small expectation because that dishonors the Lord. How can we say this God in whom we delight is almighty and we pray measly little, tiny, insignificant prayers? Well, we don't expect much of him. I mean, that's insulting. says, you're a great God, but we can't believe you to do great things. You see, the more we delight in him, the more we know who he is, not only in theory, but in experience. I was telling the folks, I told your students about this, so I just repeat it. But it's important that when we pray about impossible situations, we see some impossible answers. Because we're praying to an almighty God. And there was this lady had been asked to pray for, who had this brain tumor, you remember, that was the size of a golf ball. And she really wasn't in the place of faith when we began but to pray about this. But then when she had her first her scan back in January, the golf ball had been reduced to a bean. Remember I told you that? And I said to her, because I've never actually met with her, well, this has happened over the phone. I said to her, right, well, now our faith was not for the reduction or for the improvement, but for the complete removal.
Yes.
So thank the Lord for that, but we're going for the complete removal. Amen. So just about a couple of weeks ago, while I was on holiday, I got this text to say she'd had her latest scan, and there was absolutely no sign of the tumour. And these deeply rooted, there were two of them actually, deeply rooted tumours that were inoperable, and she'd only been given a short lifespan. Then this weekend, I got another text from somebody else I've been praying for. I really had a heart for this lady. It was somebody that I met in France who really has had another one of these incurable diseases, very painful. My heart just really went out to her because she's a lovely believer and her life has just been really sort of tormented by the disease. Again, no medical answers for this. And so I've just been standing in faith and praying for them. And I got this text and all the things that are happening are apparently the outworking of an incurable blood disorder. And got a text this weekend to say that for the first time in her life, the blood test was completely clear.
Right.
We give God the glory. It's still got to be the outworking now of the healing and the rest of her body as a result of that. But that's the essential thing. The blood is now clear. You see, isn't God good? But that's required months of perseverance. Just as the other thing did. But we're praying to a great God. So we're not just praying small, insignificant prayers or praying with vague hope. We know what the will of God is. And so we pray and we persevere till we see that happen. We're not prepared to accept anything less than God's best. We're not going to pray piffling little prayers with piffling little expectation. We're praying to a great almighty God for whom nothing is impossible.
Come on. Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. I was preaching at this wedding in Germany on Saturday, and I had a good subject for a wedding sermon. It was death. Never preached on death before at a wedding. My goodness, it was powerful, you know. I don't say that out of pride. It was really what God was doing. It was powerful. But at the reception after the wedding, a particular lady came to me and just said, "You're message spoke to me so much because I was a prostitute. I was dead and I'm alive." And she just told of how she met with God and the complete transformation that happened immediately in her life as a result of that. And you see, this is our God. This is our God. And, you know, people like that, they look at what goes on in many churches and they can't relate to it because there's so much religion. They said, but wait a minute, I was dead and now I'm alive. And she said, you were talking about what I've experienced. But everybody in the church needs to experience this, what it is to have been dead and now they're alive. Yeah. Alive with his life. Great. Oh, yeah, go on, go for it, go.
Come on.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Life.
Right. Amen.
Because we delight in him. And I listened to, I just sort of stood there with a bit of a smile on my face because this lady just went like a steam train, you know. And what was she doing? She was delighting in the Lord.
Yes.
She'd met with God, her life had been completely transformed, and she was just bubbling over with it and couldn't understand why other Christians weren't so excited about Jesus. Don't they know him? She was saying. But you see, how can you know Jesus without being excited about him? And if there's no excitement, what does that say about where you are with Jesus at this moment? I mean, we all know how to go through the motions. We know a little bit about spiritual things. But we're going to go into this camp with Jesus. Not just with a hope for revival. This is why God said to me, I shared with the team last week, that we don't go expecting God to do something special at camp. We go into camp with him having done something special in us so that then the whole camp benefits from what he's done. So we've got about 10 days or so to meet with God and for him to do a whole series of special things in us. Amen. But the key to that is to delight in the Lord. You see, God will do in the camp whatever he's done in us. I mean, the Lord taught us that years ago when I was traveling all the time with the team. We prayed before a meeting. We knew that whatever place of faith we prayed through in the meeting, God would do that. Now, when you pray through to something with faith, you don't just pray, oh, Lord, we believe that you're going to do boom, 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 boom. You can pray a whole lot of things like that off the top of your head. But that's not the same as knowing those things will definitely happen. That, you know, we might believe, well, Lord, we believe that 100 people are going to be saved tonight. You could pray that. And it sounds a good thing to pray, but do you know that 100 people will be saved? Is it as sure as the nose on your face? 100 people will be saved tonight. I know that. That's where we are. We have that assurance. We have that certainty before God. Can you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference between these sort of vague, where we vague prayer, where we pray all kinds of good things, but that's not the same as knowing what will happen. And you see, this is what it is to pray with faith. When you pray with faith, you know what is going to happen as the outcome of your prayer. Why? Because you delight in the Lord. And as you delight in the Lord, so the Holy Spirit leads you. He leads you. See, there was another situation where somebody was suddenly taken desperately ill, had been given a very short lifespan, medically, a few months. And when I was phoned about this, obviously the person phoning me was deeply concerned. It was a person of faith, but deeply concerned, I think. And what did I say to her? My immediate response was, there can only be one outcome. Yeah. Now, you see, that released faith in that person, who then went to the person who was sick and the others who were praying and said that. Pastor Colin said, there can only be one outcome. That's right. There can only be one outcome. What are we worried for about? There can only be one outcome.
Yeah.
What's the result? Total healing.
Oh.
I didn't do that. Jesus did that.
Yeah.
But you see, it's where our faith is. There can only be one outcome if we're in a place of faith. If our trust is in the Lord. If we are delighting in the Lord, there can only be one outcome. The right one. You see, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, we do not accept any answer. We only accept the right answer.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, hallelujah. There's going to be such mighty things happening at camp. Not because we think revival is a few miracles, but because we go into camp delighting in the Lord, knowing that others are going to come to a new place of delighting in the Lord, and as a result of that, they're going to see the desires of their heart fulfilled. You'll find at camp many people that have been ill for years are going to be totally healed. Many people that have been in a place of total desperation are going to be completely set free. Many people that have got no hope are going to go home with a whole new identity and a whole new vision for the rest of their lives. Why? Because they're going to come to a place where they will delight themselves in the Lord. And He will give them the desires of their heart. But it's no use us just praying that that is what will happen at camp. No, we go into camp delighting ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. So we know our God is faithful. You know, so many Christians take hold of the promises of God, but without fulfilling the conditions that are attached to the promises. And when they don't see the promises fulfilled, they get all upset with God. They say, Lord, you promised in your word, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, and I believed it and it hasn't happened. But you see, they don't hear the Holy Spirit saying to them, have you fulfilled the condition that goes with the promise? Now, you see, this verse would be a typical example of that. Lord, you have promised to give the desires of our hearts. The desire of my heart is boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. And then you see, you might say a little bit, hey, Lord, it was the real desire of my heart, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for the desire of my heart to be fulfilled, and you never did it. And the Lord says, did you delight yourself in me? Because that's a command that goes with the promise. See, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Yes! If you believe. This is such a good message, it's repeated. Heaven is saying amen.
Come on.
Yeah. You see, that's the condition. If you believe, what do you believe? He's not a measly little pygmy of a God. He's great, mighty, almighty, the Holy One, the altogether lovely one, in whom we delight. Are you ready? If you delight in the Lord, then you delight in what he's doing with you.
Yeah, that's true. Very good.
You delight in what he challenges you with.
Right.
You delight in what he has allowed to happen in your life. Even the negative things.
Come on.
Not that you delight in the negative things, but you delight in him. And you say, Lord, you are sovereign in my life. You are Lord. You are King. Nothing can happen in my life without you knowing, because not a sparrow can fall to the ground without you knowing. You know every hair upon my head. You know everything that happens in my life. So in some way, even allowing those things to happen to me has been for my good, because in those things you are going to be working for my good. So I delight in you, and I delight in your way. I delight in your will. I delight in what you have allowed to happen to me, because somehow it's going to be for my ultimate good. Even things that appear to be disastrous or negative, God redeems and turns to good. And you see, that is all actually part of this death process, because the whole of the Christian life is a process of death and resurrection. But there isn't any resurrection without the death. There isn't any glory without the cross. There isn't any fruit without the cost. And so often we want the blessings and the benefits and the fruit and all of that, but without the obedience or without the submission to him. Because if I delight myself in the Lord, then I'm really fully submitted to him, aren't I? If I delight myself in the Lord, I can't live without him. But I can't live today without him. I can't dare to do anything without him. In fact, if I try to do anything without him, I lose my peace. That sense of peace is so important. I was talking last week about that. He's the God of all peace. Gospel is the gospel of peace. What is going to happen at camp is people are going to make peace with God. They're going to come back into a place of peace with God. You see, you're only really at peace with God when you're in unity with God, when you're at one with him. That's what the cross is all about, bringing us to that place, being at one with him. Then you're at peace with him. And when you're at peace with him, you always rejoice, you always pray, and you always give thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You see. But it all comes from delighting yourself in the Lord. See, let me just ask you, in your personal prayer time, what is the principal subject? Him or you? Do you spend more time receiving from him than you do praying about what he would do? When you start your prayer time, you see, is your focus to meet with him Or just have your prayer time. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Do you have that, before you start, do you have that sense of excitement? Oh, I'm going to meet with him. Say, well, how do I know I can meet with him every time? Just delight in him and you will. I can guarantee you delight in the Lord, he'll show up. But there's another knock-on effect from this. I'm happy. Some of you don't look all that happy, but I feel so happy. You know, there's a knock-on effect. When you delight in him, he delights in you. Now, let me tell you, that is one major, major blessing. I mean, that to me means more than anything else, to know that the Lord actually delights in me. It's amazing, isn't it? Because there's absolutely no reason why he should delight in me. But he does. But he delights in me because I delight in him. So we have a delighting session. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you see, you delight in him and you come out feeling so great at the end of it. But you haven't been focusing on yourself and what you want and what you need. You've just been delighting in him and you come out feeling, wow, I feel 1,000 feet tall this morning. Praise God. And the good thing is that if you know the Lord delights in you, it doesn't matter too much what other people do to you. So, well, they may do this, that, and the other. They may say this, that, and the other. But the Lord delights in me, and that's all that matters. And he delights in me because I'm delighting in him no matter what's happening. Praise God. Some of you know a little bit about me and weddings. This wedding on Saturday, I was there for 11 hours. And rejoicing at the end of it. I mean, if that isn't the grace of God, what is? I discovered something about German weddings. Here, people do crazy things before weddings. In Germany, they do crazy things at the wedding. But but anyway, the grace of the Lord is always sufficient for us, isn't it? And you see, I think that's what God was teaching Paul. We're getting so worried about Paul. You know, this thorn in the flesh. What are you worried about, man? Delight yourself in me. Trust in me. Yeah. My grace is sufficient for you. Yeah. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Your weakness doesn't matter, man. As long as you're rejoicing in me. And yeah. Eh? Praise God. What a Lord. So we're going to have big expectations of our God. But he's got big expectations of us. Mm-hmm. And the more we delight in him, the more we will delight in those expectations he has of us. Yes, Lord. What's he going to do, you see? Everything really of significance that happens in the lives of believers is the result of the way he reveals himself. Uh-huh. This is why delighting in him is longing for him, desiring to be closer to him, desiring to love him more, just desiring him. And he answers that desire, you see. If it's the desire of your heart, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant the desires of your heart. He will fulfill the desires of your heart. And say, yes, Lord, yes. And can you see that the closer you walk to the Lord, the more he's going to do through you? I mean, you touch the lives of other people with his life and his love and his power. That wedding, it went on and on, but I was spending hours in ministry to one person after another because of the effect that the word had had on their lives during the wedding. That's great. I mean, that's fine. But you see, you get people focused on Jesus and suddenly they see there's an answer. Seemingly impossible, intractable situations that people have been in, suddenly they have hope. Suddenly they see there's an answer. Faith is contagious.
Yes, amen.
You know, you have that faith and it will...
That's it. Come on.
It will communicate itself to those who come under the influence of your faith. Oh, they've still got to learn to exercise that trust in the Lord themselves. But this is the great thing, beloved. We're going to pray in just a moment. But the great thing is this. Every one of us in this room has the same access to Jesus.
Amen.
Every one of us has the same access to his throne. Every one of us has the same place in Christ Jesus through his mercy and grace. But not every one of us uses those privileges in the same way or to the same extent. That's what makes us different from one another. It's not that one is better than another or has more than another or anything like that. It's simply that God has opened up, given to us the fullness of his life, has done completely and perfectly all that he's done. And he says, right, now it's up to you and to your heart as to how much you avail yourself, to put it in computer terms, how much you download into your life of all this fullness, the fullness, you see, he is the life. When he says he's given us fullness of life, he's given us the fullness of himself. So how much through prayer, in faith, are we downloading of him? I mean, every one of us here, every one of us can say, the truth is, Christ is in me. Yeah, fine. Now, if Christ is in you, the fullness of who he is in you. Fine. But the outworking of that is different from one person to another. Why is that? Well, there's a difference in how much we are submitted to the Christ in us, how much we're submitted to the Holy Spirit, how far we are dependent upon him, how much we exercise that dependence, how much we make him the focus and not what we do the focus or how we feel the focus or our insecurities the focus. And the more he is the focus, the more we will prosper, the more God will be able to do in our lives and with our lives. Because all that matters to us is him. I'm not going to get all worried and upset about this and that and the other, what this one has said and that one has done and how I'm, you know, not appreciated and all this kind of Gunge. I mean, it's him. You know, people pay lip service and they say it's all about him. It's true, it's all about him. But paying lip service doesn't make it all about him in your life. So, download every day, receive every day. I know the most important part of my day is not just hearing from the Lord, but receiving from the Lord. See, he's not content to speak because he's the God who gives. Grace is not God speaking. Grace is God giving. And the scripture says we stand every day in his grace. So it's a matter of, okay, what am I going to receive of his grace? Not for myself, if you see what I mean, but because I delight in him, he is going to cause his grace to download his life, his love, his power, whatever else, into my life today and every day. You understanding what I'm saying? It's not that I've got to do this and do that and do the other and in order to get revived. No, I've just got to get my eyes off myself, revival and all that stuff, and just get my eyes on him.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about, Lord, how can I minister that one? How can I be effective in this? How can I do this? How can we sort that out? What is it? He said, well, just delight yourself in me and it'll all fit into place. I'll do it. Just one more thing. We all know that God forgives our sins. Isn't that good? Where would we be without that? And we fail. We all fail. We can't be proud of our failures, but the sad thing is we will still fail because we're not infallible. We're not yet perfect in being able to express the life of Jesus. So, we're very thankful for that scripture from 1 John that says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pleased about that one? Yeah, okay. He is faithful. Faithful to what? What's John referring to? When he's saying he is faithful in forgiving us. Faithful to what? Faithful to his covenant oath. Do you remember when God was prophesying about the new covenant that would be established with the blood of Jesus? And the letter to Hebrews explains all this about the covenant oath of God. Covenant is often described as an agreement between God and man. It isn't really that. It's coming into a place of agreement because of an oath that God has taken. A covenant between two people is a mutual thing. But a covenant with God is a response to an oath that God has taken because he has sworn by himself. And the scripture says God is so faithful, he didn't actually need to take an oath. He didn't need to swear by himself. But he chose to do this because he wanted his people to understand how completely, 100% perfectly faithful he is. But he knew he would never, ever, ever break his covenant promise. Now, actually, there's really a series of promises that are all part of that covenant promise. But you see, one of those covenant promises is that when the new covenant is established, what did he say? I will remember their sin no more. I will remember their sin no more. So you see, when you confess your sins, God is faithful to his covenant promise, I will remember your sin no more. The blood of Jesus made that possible. The covenant promise of God effects what was made possible through the blood. That is so much at the heart of the covenant, which is why Jesus said, every time you pray, you must forgive others, no matter what they've done to you. Every time, you must. Why? Because this is right at the heart of God's covenant. He's saying, if I remember your sin no more, then be sure you do not remember the sin of others anymore. Forgiveness means you do not remember the sin. That's the covenant. And you see, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, we delight in his faithfulness to his word, to his covenant. Yes, I might sin and I might fail him, and I don't want to do that because if I delight in him, I love him. And so it's going to grieve him, it's going to grieve me if I disappoint him in any way and fall short of what he really desires. But praise God, part of his faithfulness, of who he is, this one in whom I delight, is that if I sin, if I fail, if I grieve him and ask for his forgiveness, he will remember my sin no more. So that means, you see, your voyage into the future is not marred by any sin and failure of the past. As far as God's concerned, those things no longer exist. So as you delight yourself in the Lord, are you listening to me? Because this is so important. As you delight yourself in the Lord, you see, you come before him clothed with Christ. Isn't that what the scripture says? Clothed with Christ, clothed with Christ, clothed with the Holy One, clothed with the Perfect One. And he doesn't look upon you and see the sin and see the failure and see the inadequacy, because all that he remembers no more. He just sees Jesus. He just sees you in Jesus. He sees you clothed with Jesus. And he says, okay, this is what today is about. Today isn't about the past. Today is about Jesus in your life today, about you delighting in Jesus today, about Jesus delighting in you today, about you living clothed with Christ today, about you expecting the best, the ultimate today, because you are so fully, totally accepted in the Beloved. That I am your righteousness, I am your holiness, I am your redemption, I am your wisdom. Oh, you've heard me preach these things so many times, but you bring it all together, you see, and you get this amazing result. What a God!
What a God. I mean, other people aren't like him, are they? Even the most godly, even those that you respect the most, they're so far short of who he is. Much better to have your eyes on him, not to put your trust in men. No matter how godly and saintly the men may appear to be, but in him. Because he's the ultimate. He's the only perfect one.
Come on. Yeah. Yes.
And this is the great thing. This is the great thing. That at camp, thousands of people are going to meet with him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Come on. Absolutely.
It's not that there's going to be ministry. You remember, I've told you many times that thing that was said to me before my ordination by a very wise elderly believer. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. And he said to me, Colin, never minister to the people. Always minister to the Lord. And he will then minister to the people. See, so many Christians want ministry to the people. No, no, no. Our ministry is to the Lord. And then he will minister to the people. He might do it through us. He might do it without us. But it doesn't matter. He'll do it. Because he's faithful to his covenant promises. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand. Oh, just open your heart. Just begin to delight in him. Come on, if you don't know how to do that, then ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Just delight in the Lord. You can't delight in your Lord if you don't put your focus on him. Not just words, not just tongues. You can use tongues, but not just tongues. Just express what is in your heart. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Pura la 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 balandara mazando. You are so wonderful. You are so great. You are so mighty. You are so faithful. Our covenant God, the God of all peace, the God of all love, the God of all grace, the God of all mercy, the God of all truth. The God of all righteousness, the God of all holiness. Our great eternal immortal God, the Almighty One. Hora la masala basataria lera bakarasita ba. Hora la 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 masandaria lana masataria lera bakarasita. Hora la mandaria lena masataria lera bakarasita ba. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la 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 masandaria leno masandaria leno bakalasita. Bambara la la masataria leno bakalasita di sandama. Bambara la 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 masuturi sataria leno bakalasita. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la masatari elero bakarasito di sanduba. Balandaria lenoma, satari lenoma.
I delight in you, Lord. I rejoice in you. Praise your wonderful name. What a great and mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, rala masatare alera bakarasito. Oh, mamma rala no masatare alera bakarasito. Ombaradano masatare alera bakarasito. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Pura la masatari alera masatari alera bacarasito. Ambara la masatari alera bacarasito. Risato bacarasando balanduma. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura la masatari alera bacarasito. Oh, come on, Lord. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Yes! Oh, paparala masatari alera bakarasito. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Parala basatari alera bakarasito risato. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura la basatari alera bakarasita. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires get lined up with his desires. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I don't want any agenda of my own. I'm not asking you to fulfill any of my own selfish desires. I want to be totally in line with your desires, with your will, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Sala basatari alera bakarasito. Oh, mama razatapari alera bakarasito. Oh, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to walk closer to you than I've ever walked. Lord, I just want those face-to-face encounters with you, to know you in your majesty, to know you in your glory, to know you in your holiness. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. My heart cries out for you, the living God. Pura la basatapara basatapaya. Oh, mama rasala mazotori alera bakarasito ba. Pulandari aleno mazatari alera bakarasito ba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Pura la mazatari alera bakarasito risato. Boparazatari alera bakarasito di sanduma. O paparazatari alera bakarasito di sanduma. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura la bazatari alera bakarasito di sanduma. Pura la namazatari alera mazatari alera bakarasito. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, ratapare azito ba. Yes, 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 yes. Where it was this weekend, you may remember about 6 weeks ago, I went and spoke at their annual conference. And while I was there, I spoke about the message you've heard here, too, has spoken it here, about sowing the word in prayer, not our words. God watches over his word to perform it. So we sow his word in prayer and water it with thanksgiving. Well, you know, normally I don't return to the same place after only about 6 weeks. But I was told while I was there of the number of people that were been healed because they've acted on that word. And they've been passing the CD around to people that weren't there, people who, you know, from other churches, even, I think, sometimes to non-believers. And you know, so I was told, people have just been listening to this message and getting healed. Because actually, it was how I described the message was, this is how to receive your healing. And again, there's no virtue for me in that. It's the Lord, isn't it? It's His Word. You sow His Word. Not our words, not our dreams, not our fantasies, not our longings, but you sow His Word. Because you see, if we delight in the Lord, we delight in His Word. And we know His Word is truth. And we know His Word is the answer. His words are spirit and life. And contained in that Word, the Scripture says, is healing for a man's whole body. Amen. The power is in the Word. And so often we want to do this, that, and the other, and think that if we do all these different things, it's going to make a difference. But actually, what really makes a difference is faith in His Word. We believe His Word. We sow His Word. And He watches over His Word to perform it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is this a different message? No, it's the same message. Because we delight in Him, we delight in His Word. So when we pray, we sow His Word. We don't just sow our own ideas and our own words, and we don't just rab it on with many words, you know? Like Jesus says, you won't be heard for that. But you sow His Word, and you sow it with faith, and you water it with thanksgiving, because we always rejoice, and we always pray, and we always give thanks, that whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you have received it. You pray at all times with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Lord, over this camp, I'm sowing this Word this morning. That we delight ourselves in You. That, Lord, everybody, without exception, will come to a place during those days of delighting themselves in You. Not listening to other people delighting You, but they will delight themselves in You. Everyone, even the unsaved that come there, by the end of that camp, they will be delighting themselves in You. Those that have been trying to get healed will give up trying to get healed and will instead delight themselves in You. And they will find that You give them the desires of their heart. And we praise You, Lord. We bless You. All those needing a breakthrough in their relationship, a breakthrough in attitudes, a breakthrough in any area of their life, instead of trying to get the breakthrough, they will delight themselves in You, and then they'll get the breakthrough. Hallelujah. You will grant them the desires of their heart. Lord, we're just sowing now in faith that those who come obsessed with themselves, obsessed with their needs, focused entirely on circumstances, that they're going to have a complete transformation. We are sowing this Word that they will delight themselves in You. They will meet with You. They will come to really know who You are. And You will give them the desires of their heart. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands and praise Him. Oh, we bless You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. God, just think of that. Isn't that what needs to happen? His law, his word in our minds. Not thoughts about this, that, and the other. Not other stuff that the world wants to impress upon us. Not all self-concern, not opinions. But he will put his law, his word, in their minds and write it on their hearts. See, if it's written on their hearts, that word becomes their desire. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For, see, why will all these things happen? He says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Yes. Come on, thank the Lord. He remembers your sins no more. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Yes. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Hallelujah. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, you will see it. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. Yes. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them because they take refuge in him. Oh, Lord, we thank you. How can we thank you enough? What a great and mighty God. What a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful covenant you have made with us. Oh, Lord, how can we praise you enough for your faithfulness and your love? Glory, 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 glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes! Yes, 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 yes. So, the word of the Lord to us, beloved, this morning, is our focus for these next 10 days is not the camp.
Right.
It's Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do all kinds of practical things to prepare for the camp. But the important thing is that our focus is not just on the things, but on Jesus. Our prayer is all focused around Jesus. And our longing and desire to meet with him, not at camp, but before camp.
Yes. Yes.
So that many, many more will meet with him at camp.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honour, all the praise. What a great and mighty God you are.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.